Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience.
Hello, friends, and welcome to today's episode of GC Podcast. This podcast is devoted to exploring best ministry practices in the context of Grace Communion International Churches. I'm your host, Kara Garrity, and today I am overjoyed to interview Africa Afeni Mills. Africa is part of the leadership team for a GCI church plant in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks so much for joining us today, Africa.
Thank you for having me, Kara. I'm so excited about today's conversation.
Yes, it's going to be a good one. We're going to be talking about rhythms and the power of rhythms and what they can do for our development as healthy churches. But before we jump in, I want to know, what is one of your favorite rhythms? It could be, you know, any kind of rhythm. What's your favorite?
I think right now I've been really leaning into learning more about different types of prayer rhythms. And yeah, so I feel like there's such a big world that I didn't know about before. And so I'm really excited about learning about all the different ways that we can connect with God in prayer.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I love that. Thanks for sharing.
Absolutely.
And rhythms, do they come in so many different forms?
Yes.
You know, we see rhythms everywhere, even in nature, in our structures. And so when we talk about developing healthy church rhythms, let's just start at the basics. How would you describe a rhythm, and what are some of the qualities and characteristics that you would say a rhythm has?
Yeah. And I was thinking, I mean, so interesting that you said, just said what you said, because I was thinking in preparation for our conversation about like where I notice rhythms. And I feel like God has so many rhythms. Like you talk about like seasonal rhythms and we have like sleeping rhythms and cardiac rhythms and all, even like just gestational rhythms and like the process of you know, like of a development of life. And so for me, I think about like when I think about rhythm, some of the qualities, it feels like it's not always the same, right? That there are some times where there are certain features, right? Well, if we think about seasons, for example, right, where certain things we come to expect when it comes to winter. It's a different experience now that I live in Charlotte than when we lived in Massachusetts. But yeah, like winter brings a certain type of flow, like it's tense, usually colder, right? And there's not as many leaves on the trees. But then we think about like moving into spring and starting to see things bud and grow and getting really to enjoy the fruits of things in the summertime. And then even in fall, when things begin to die, that it's actually kind of like a beautiful experience because the colors are so, you know, they're so gorgeous and we're preparing to enter into another cycle of those rhythms. So I think that rhythms have some common elements, right? But then they also have some things that are different, but that they feed one another, right? Or they connect with one another. And I think about that same thing too when it comes to our relationship with God and with one another, right? It doesn't have to look the same all the time, but there's so much richness in the different parts of the different rhythms that we lean into.
Yeah, that's excellent. And I love how you describe that balance of there's some things that are common and maybe, you know, a pattern or however I might think of that, but then things that are different too. And so there's kind of maybe even one of the images that comes to mind for me when I think of rhythms are waves, ocean waves. So there's a little bit of this push and pull of rhythms, but waves aren't always the same strength, same height, same anything, right? But it is still a rhythm, this push and pull.
Yeah, and they each have their own, like their own types of beauty. And that's something I used to, I mean, we'll probably get into this more as we talk more, but I think I've also thought about like in terms of like a good, bad, a good, bad binary, where it's just like, okay, winter's bad, right? Like, winter's bad, it's cold, everything's dead, right? Like you don't really want to go outside and all this unless you really enjoy that weather. But it's like, no, it's not bad. It's just different, right? You have a different flow and an experience with that, but actually pretty cool things happening in the winter, right? That cold and how it's like sealing in the soil and the things that are happening that we might not be able to see. I feel like it has such alignment to what happens in our spiritual lives, right? We may not see exactly what's happening, but something is happening.
That's really good.
Well,
and that's, you know, that leads right into the next question that I have is, you know, what, I mean, what do rhythms do? Like what are they for?
So I think about just some of like in the like examples of rhythms. One of the things that have come to my mind, especially in our practices as a denomination, thinking about like the worship calendar, right? And so I think of those as rhythms as well. I think we all do, right? So even thinking about, like, you know, being in Epiphany or being in Easter prep or being in Easter ordinary time and things like that, I think it gives us almost like an anchor and some and an expectation that this is the posture that I want to approach this time with. And we don't exactly know, like, exactly, you know, what God will reveal to us during that time, either directly in our time with, you know, Father, Son, and Spirit, or with one another. But I think it gives us, like, something to look forward to, and almost like a container in which, you know, to hold the experiences that God's going to bring into our lives. And so I think it's anticipatory, right? So you happen to know, it's like, okay, so this thing is coming, and I'm really excited about, like, what is it that God's going to reveal to me in this time? And so I think it gives us something, like, not only, you know, a regularity or like like a pattern, but also surprise in that, right? So it's, I mean, just how fascinating God is. Like, there's mystery in the rhythms as well. It's not to say that we know exactly, like, every year during Epiphany, God does exactly this, right? It's like, no, right? Like, God surprises us all the time. But we know kind of, like, the themes that we're thinking about. We're thinking about, like, new life, or we're thinking about celebration or light or, you know, like, preparation, or, you know, it's celebration, right? There's so many different things. So we can look forward to different things, but also have that space for mystery about, like, what's actually going to happen during that time. We don't know for sure, but it's exciting.
Yes. Yeah. And I love the phrase you use, like, a container for, you know, whatever it is that God is doing in that season, or that we focus on what God has done, and how there's that also that space for mystery in that container. Because even that example that you give of the seasons, it's the same thing, right? If you live in a climate where you have four seasons, you know, the seasons are predictable,
right?
But one tree in fall, one year can be a bright orange, and then the next year maybe it's red, and then the next year maybe brown. And so the seasons are reliable in that sense, but they look very different every year. And so, you know, to think about the worship calendar that way too, we come back to every year Easter preparation, we come back every year to Advent, but what God may be shaping in us as we focus on that aspect of who he is and who we are in him.
Yes.
Might be one year a little bit bright orange and one year a little bit deep red.
Exactly. You know? And I love that. I mean, that surprise element that's in there that I feel like God constantly brings us into. And I think the other piece too is that I'm somebody who is like, I want to understand something, and I want to have a solid understanding of it. And once I think I understand, I mean, I've been leaning away from this now, but my default setting is to just be like, yeah, I know this thing. But I think the other piece about rhythms is just like, you may think you know that thing, but you might not quite, right? So before I really understood and studied about what actually happens during seasons, I thought I had an understanding. Like, you know, I grew up in New York City, winter looked a certain way, spring looked a certain way. There are certain things that, you know, that would happen or that we can anticipate. But the more I started to learn about seasons, I'm like, oh, I actually have no idea, right? I'm like, I'm just thinking about, okay, flowers are growing. Or my big thing when I was a kid was forsythias. Like, when forsythias would be out, that would be something I would be excited about. Okay. And so then, you know, so I'm like, okay, so I understood it from a certain perspective. But then as I started to study more about trees or like the life cycle of a plant, I'm just like, oh, there's a lot of stuff, a lot more things that I don't understand yet. And so even in the things we anticipate in a rhythm, there's still that element of surprise in it too, as we deepen our understanding.
Yes.
And I think that's a really great place to be with God.
Yeah, I really like that. That idea of going deeper in those rhythms. And and one of the things that makes me think of is, you know, I can experience rhythms as formational too, right? And part of that is because it brings us deeper as we revisit certain things, revisit certain places. It's almost even that image of the spiral.
Yes.
So you're revisiting, but maybe you're going deeper each time.
Right. That's such a good point. Yeah. And I think, like, the question you asked me earlier about, like, which rhythms am I, like, I was kind of thinking about now.
Yeah.
So much so true with prayer. Because when I was, you know, as a kid, it was more so like, all right, let me pray to God for forgiveness because he's probably mad at me, right? Let me ask for stuff, like treating God kind of like Santa Claus or like a genie, right? So it's just like, yeah, prayer is just about asking God because, you know, the scriptures say ask, right? And seek and knock and ask for what you want, it'll be given to you. And it's like you have a certain individualistic kind of like perception of that. But then I think like now as I've been learning more about the different types of prayer, not to say that, you know, supplication is not part of that, right? We do, God wants to know everything that's on our minds and things like that. But like moving beyond like, okay, I understood intercessory prayer, but then also the different like silent prayer or listening prayer. One of the more recent ones I learned about was soaking prayer. Mm. And I'm like, I feel like the more I learn about this rhythm, the more there is to learn. And it's so connected, but also distinct in a lot of ways. And it's like you're saying, that spiral of going deeper and really having some, really having something become a part of you.
I like that. So some of the things that rhythms can do for us is it brings us deeper. It gives us that container to hold both the mystery and the intentionality of a particular season. And it's formational, transformational in that way.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I love that. And when we think about healthy church rhythms specifically, what are some examples of healthy church rhythms that come to mind?
I think so. I've had the wonderful pleasure of being part of a school of formation it's an 8-month program that's actually part of New Life Fellowship in New York City. Mm. It's a cohort basically that you can participate in where we take a deep dive into Rich Violas is the pastor of that church and also the author of The Deeply Formed Life. Mm-hmm. And so we've been really deeply leaning into several things like contemplative rhythms and, you know, internal examination and really thinking about all these things and what they mean to us as, you know, as Christians. And so I think like, especially when it came to the contemplative rhythms part, thinking about like Sabbath keeping, as soon as when we started talking about that, I'm like, no, no, Rich, please. I don't want to talk about Sabbath keeping because my experience as a younger person with Sabbath keeping was not enjoyable at all. It really felt like not punishment, so to speak, but it just felt like drudgery. Right. Like it was like, this is a time when you can't do anything fun. You can't hang out with your friends. You can't watch anything that you enjoy on TV. You can only watch nature programs. And it just wasn't, I remember just because we would observe from sunset on Friday to sunset on Saturday. And it wasn't enjoyable. But so when I started, I'm like, okay, let me not bring that into the experience. Let me actually lean into learning, you know, what is God's intention? What is his heart behind Sabbath keeping? And I was like, oh, this is so beautiful, right? Like being able to have this period of rest, right? And enjoyment of like not only our time with God, but in community with one another. Yeah. And so just even it's shaking up my previous perceptions of different types of rhythms and practices. So I think when it comes to healthy church, I think that's the piece too, is like we were talking about just now, taking a deeper dive into some things. One of the concepts that came to mind for me as I was learning, or that was as part of our learning, was that, you know, thinking about like God created, like when he created, began human life, the very next day was a day of rest. And so like they were created and then brought into rest. And I was like, yo, yes, right? So I'm like, let me think about this. What was like, you know, that means something. So I think about when it comes to healthy church, in order to embody all the things that we know that Jesus has invited us into, whether it be, you know, how we're living out with intentionality, the Faith Avenue or Love Avenue or the Hope Avenue, it really comes from a place of our own connection with God, right? And so I think it's twofold. It's that we have these times, these rhythms that we enjoy with God, and it could be in silence and solitude. And even thinking about solitude feels a bit different for me because I'm just like, I'm not completely alone because Father, Son, and Spirit are persons, right? And so I'm spending time with them, but it's not just meant for me to enjoy as an individual only. I bring that into communion with the larger body. Yes. And then so we bring like, you know, those things that we are doing with God, whether it's, you know, keeping Sabbath or our prayer rhythms or things like that, or the slow reading of scripture like Lectio Divina, or even thinking about Visio Divina, which is a newer exploration for me. I think all of those practices individually and then collectively, they are like almost like leading into, they're the pathway or the on-ramp, so to speak, into the different components of a healthy church. And so, yeah, I feel excited about that because it's not, I'm learning a lot more about not seeing my relationship with God as just like me and him. Yes. Just, you know, Jesus is my personal Lord and Savior. I used to say that for a long time. It's like, yes, yes, you're in relationship with Jesus, but there are all these other children that God wants us to be in connection with too. So I think being able to lean into our rhythms individually and then with one another, I think really feeds all the components of a healthy church.
Yeah. And that's a beautiful thing that you've described, mm-hmm. because one of those rhythms of a healthy church is coming together,
yes.
in spiritual practices corporately,
yes.
as the church, and right. not just, you know, on our own, in our own little corners and spaces,
yes.
and then just coming together for maybe activities as a corporate body, or
right.
just a Sunday worship service. Mm-hmm. But how are we coming together fully in our discipleship, all aspects,
yes.
holistically,
yes.
one with another, and sharing with each other what we're learning from our own, you know, formation times and rhythms,
yes.
and how does that impact one another as we participate communally,
right?
as the church.
Yeah. The image that just came to mind for me just now as I was listening to you is like thinking about the main body of a river, mm-hmm. but then also the tributaries that could,
yes.
like flow into that main river. It's like, you know, thinking of our individual time with God, it's like those tributaries, right?
Yeah.
But then there's the main flow. It's like, oh, we're bringing what God is forming in us into that main flow. And in that way, we get to really, you know, like spread the aroma of the kingdom, mm. which is so needed. It's so needed. And so one of the things I was thinking about yesterday was, especially with that piece around like being the aroma of the kingdom,
yeah.
of God, it's like when you think about a concentrated aroma, that could be bad, right? So we think about, right, like I think about sometimes when, and now let me be real, when Daishan is cooking, not so much me, but when Daishan is cooking and we're like, say we're frying something or making something, if we're doing it inside the house, sometimes the smoke alarm comes on because the smoke is in the house and it's a lot. But if we're grilling outside,
mm.
and not only is it just like, okay, well, everybody else in the area gets to smell that good smell, and maybe it awakens a hunger in them, or they get to enjoy the aroma. But if we're just having it in the house only,
right.
it's overwhelming, and it's not really fulfilling its true purpose, which I think is to create an invitation almost, right? So I think about that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I really like that analogy. And
yeah.
it makes me even and think about, you know, when we talk about healthy church rhythms, mm-hmm. I think being in rhythms of mission, and we're going to talk about that on a later podcast, mm-hmm. in a couple of months,
mm-hmm.
but are we sharing that aroma?
Yes.
Right? And it
right?
does come from, I think what you're saying is, mm-hmm. that foundation of, are we being formed? Are we being discipled together,
yes.
as a community?
Right.
And then what happens as an overflow from that?
Right.
How are we joining in what God's doing as he shapes and forms and transforms us,
yes.
as his followers?
Yeah.
And is it, you know, maybe we're grilling outside and
right.
letting the neighborhood smell a little bit and
right.
get a little bit hungry.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's really great. And then,
yeah.
you know, I think that an important thing to note is, again, that foundation of when we think about healthy church rhythms, it is, mm-hmm. grounded in who God is.
Absolutely.
And who we are because of him. And so
absolutely.
Those spiritual practices, personally and corporately,
mm-hmm.
are really important, because otherwise rhythms can become just activities,
right.
of the church,
right.
Rather
right.
than rhythms that are rooted in what God is doing in our
right.
midst because of who he is and
right.
who he has called us to be as our church. So I really appreciate the, you know, the way that you kind of rooted that answer.
Yes.
Not just, well, rhythms are, you got to make a calendar and you got to do this and you got to do that. Because those are a way
true,
of thinking about rhythms
it,
too. And
right?
it is,
it
is.
It.
But mm-hmm. that's secondary to
yes.
the rhythm of who God is and who he's created us to be.
Right.
Our primary rhythm is, are we in step with him?
Right.
Yeah.
And what is the, you know, like thinking about God's purposes and God's
yes.
desire and his heart. And I think, you know, there's so much, I'm like, and I'm speaking for myself, there was so much of a misunderstanding about who God is for so much of my life. And so for me, it feels really exciting to be able to think about, like, what do rhythms in the healthy church look like? And then for me, like, when we're thinking about, yes, the gospel was good news for a lot of my life as a Christ follower, I was like, this doesn't really feel like good news.
Mm.
I don't really feel like I want to talk about this because it feels actually kind of scary, right? But then actually getting to, like, in those spaces, in those rhythms, in that depth of communing with God, both, you know, in time directly with him and with one another, we really get into discover, you know, like who he really is, right? Who like Father, Son, and Spirit, like what does that mean? And so beautiful. It's not scary. Yeah. Right. And that was really refreshing. Yes. Really refreshing for me to learn. Right. It's like actually a really beautiful relationship that we're invited into. Right. Yeah. And I think, too, like, I mean, one of the things that's been helping me even in my own time with God is because, you know, like I've used the term myself and heard the term sacred imagination. Mm. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm drawn to that. Right. And so even in that time of like, you know, slow reading of scripture and kind of like placing ourselves in the story. Right. But I think also, too, to the blessing of like what other people, like the work that other people have been brought into as well, like watching The Chosen as the show, just really seeing that the way that they depict Jesus is so beautiful. Yeah, so that too, like really being able to enjoy that. So for me, I'm just like, I could watch The Chosen alone and be like, this is so beautiful. Or, you know, we can really enjoy, like, it doesn't have to be the watching of the show, but like really leaning into like, how do we together envision, right? Like what it is that, you know, what God has said and what he is saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that too.
Yeah.
So much richness.
Yeah, bringing even our life rhythms together as the church and the life rhythms of our neighborhood.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, definitely. That's,
I love that. I love that. Yeah. Another thing that, because it sounds like we could go on about that
forever. Oh, totally.
So another thing that we do talk a lot about in GCI, one of our mantras is high support, high challenge, grace always. And so how can the use of rhythms and paying attention to our rhythms provide us both high support and high challenge as we grow as in healthy churches?
Yeah, I'm actually going to flip it and talk about high challenge first.
Yeah.
Because I think that one of the things I'm noticing as I'm learning more and studying more and really leaning into learning about rhythms is that it really does shake us up, right? Mm. There are certain ways that we are used to being, right? And then even think about the word formation, right? It's just like, yeah, this is something that I've learned from Michelle quite a bit. It's just like, yeah, we're all being formed.
Yes.
But it's like, but what's forming us? What is forming us? So I think about that too, where it's just like, okay, so as we're thinking about if we are learning about like, okay, yes, you know, Father, Son, and Spirit, like we are invited into deep rest. What does that look like, right? And so sometimes that's going to look a bit different than we maybe have been used to practicing. So for example, like one of the examples is like in being in the school of formation and hearing like, how do y'all, like y'all as a whole church practice Sabbath, or even like Ruth Haley Barton's recent book around, like she's talked about, you know, all these different practices before, but her most recent book is about like embracing the rhythms, you know, of Sabbath and sabbatical. And so it's just like, if we believe those things, what does that actually look like practically? Because we're in a society that is largely formed as pretty antithetical to those rhythms. So I think the challenge might even be for all of us as a group to say, and one of the examples that we explored in the School of Formation was, what if someone has like three jobs and they need to work those jobs to take care of their family? And they really have a hard time being able to enjoy Sabbath, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's even then to start to look at, okay, like what is our economy, right? Like how do we as a body support those, like in the Acts, right? When they like those who had gave to those who didn't have and everybody had enough. And so what does that mean? If we believe that there are certain sacred rhythms that God is inviting us into, what are in our practices that we need to do away with or that we need to question, right? So if we want people to be able to enjoy time in having solitude or time of retreat or time of really slow reading into the word, are we as a denomination, as a body, are we creating the conditions for which we can do those things well, right? And that's what the reason why I want to talk about challenge first is because I feel like we have to lay that foundation and then we can we'll be ready to provide the support. Because for me, if someone, I'll just use myself as an example. If someone's like, boy, Africa, like they've given me a whole bunch of stuff to do. And it's like, but you should get some rest. I'd be like, I don't think you really believe that because you keep giving me more stuff to do and it's going to be harder for me to get rest, right? Wow. But if someone is just like, you know what? You really need to have time to rest. We believe that this is what God has intended for us so that we can be whole and that we can be spreading the aroma of the kingdom and we're not exhausted and burned out. And so how do we make sure that we can do those things? So I think the challenge is to make sure that the foundational practices are there. And so it's not a challenge for people to be able to lean into, right?
Yeah.
That's what comes to mind for me.
No, that's really excellent, because when we think about things in terms of rhythms rather than just oh, we're just going to do things the way that we always done them or whatever, right, willy-nilly going about our lives as the church,
yeah,
then we will get faced with these tough questions about, well, if we are committed to this rhythm that we believe God has invited into, what does that actually mean,
yes,
for our lives and, yes, how we live our lives and what it means to be committed to this rhythm that God has invited us into,
yeah,
and how do we need to be transformed to walk in step with this rhythm?
Absolutely, because I think about that a lot as far as how God's been shaking up my understanding, yeah, in the most beautiful way. Is there so many things in the scriptures that we read and we're like, oh, look, Jubilee, that's such a beautiful thing. Oh, that was then, right? We can't do that anymore. It's like, well, it doesn't have to be old, right? Like, yeah, we can with intentionality start to look at what is God's heart around Jubilee and why does that exist? And how do we, right? That's part of the aroma of the kingdom as well, right?
Yeah.
Like, how do we make sure that we're living out these practices? Because I'm like, I feel like it connects to everything, but we're not going to be able to share the love of Jesus with people who, if they look at our lives and they're just like, yeah, you're always stressed out. And you don't seem like you really have time for joy or fun or a celebration. It seems like you're just working, and that doesn't really feel like good news, right? Like, going back to that concept. So in order to be really compelling, right, and that's not to say that that's our aim, but if people look at our lives, do we reflect the rhythms that God invites us into?
Yes.
Or are we of that mindset to be like, oh yeah, well, that's what God used to do in the Old Testament, we don't do that anymore? It's just like, actually, we could, right? Like, what does that look like? What does it look like to support one another?
And when you said reflect the rhythms, it makes me think too, part of that challenge is, are the rhythms of the church reflective of the rhythms of the kingdom, or
yes,
the rhythms of the world?
Yes,
right,
absolutely.
And that is a beautiful and a challenging question to ask ourselves,
yes,
because it doesn't, transformation doesn't happen overnight.
No.
But it is
a
beautiful
journey.
Process.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the piece too, is that sometimes when we, and I see this in the work that I do so often, when we come to a realization that something, we would like to see something change or to be different, we want to jump right to the full change. But it's like, no, you can't do that. And we're going back, going back to the seasonal rhythms. It's like, you don't go right from fall into oh, look at this mango tree, right? There's some things that need to happen before the fruit's going to be there, right? So I think giving ourselves, and I want to be careful to say not giving ourselves an out.
Yes.
To say oh yeah, well, this is hard, so it's going to take a really long time. It's so not just taking a long time because on the human level, we feel like we can't do it because we're not, it shouldn't be us doing it.
Yes.
It should be that we are participating with, Father, Son, and Spirit in what, Father, Son, and Spirit are already doing. And so just thinking about here is what we aspire to do. And then here are the steps that we need to take to lead in that direction and hold ourselves accountable for, we believe that this is God's intention. And so how are we participating?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's good. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering, and this would have been me maybe in my earlier days, because I love to be free.
What, is that Enneagram 7 energy?
It is. What would you say to those of us who might be concerned that rhythms could keep us maybe locked into too strict of a structure,
rigid.
And more importantly, might keep us from following the lead of the Spirit because we're too committed to the rhythm itself.
Mm-hmm.
And as a follow-up to that, what are some ways we can discern rhythms by the lead of the Spirit?
Yeah. So I would say the first thing that comes to mind for me is that kind of what we were talking about a bit earlier is that, yes, it is the rhythms are a container, but we're not to say exactly what the container is going to contain, right? It is a container, but we there's that mystery piece, right? And I think it's really helpful. This is something I've also been learning a lot about, which has been really refreshing, is that in participating with Father, Son, and Spirit in rhythms, it's not meant to say that we all become these automatons, yellow pencils. We're all in lockstep with one another and nothing is, there's no variety, because because one of the things I know well, and I think we all know well about God, is that God loves diversity. Yeah. And he created us with different personalities, different experiences, different inclinations and ideas, and the way that we experience the world for a reason. Yeah. All right. And so I would say that a container is not meant to be something that is restrictive, but it's meant to be something that where we can, like we're going into a flow with one another, and that God is going to be doing something very particular with us in the way that that looks. He's going to let us know, and he's going to bring that in and through our different personalities and our different interests and things too. And so I think part of it is making sure, and this is another thing that's a big part of my work too, that I do, is that a lot of times we get an idea about something and we're like, ooh, this is how it will manifest in a really good way, but we don't really ask for input from people who are going to be participating. So for me, I would say, I think it's really important to, yes, we, okay, so say like even thinking about the worship calendar, right? So we're entering into a season of Epiphany, or, you know, into Easter prep. Mm-hmm. What is God saying to you about that time? Like, how are you enjoying God? Yeah. And are there parts of that that you can share in the body? Because there's so many people who might, like, they might be kind of spontaneous and not want to be locked down either, but feel like something's wrong with them. But then getting to see somebody who has that same type of inclination, it's like, oh, well, that's how that could look for me. And that's how other people might benefit from it too. So I think that that's the communal nature of a rhythm, is that let's all talk about it together. Yes. And like, what are we, you know, like in just in your time with God, like what is God saying to you about how he wants you to embody this time? And then how can we flow in that together? And I think for some people who like are like, who like organization and structure, that can feel a bit scary, right? But it doesn't have to, I think, because there's ways to contribute from all of our different ways of being. So I think that if done well and done in collaboration with one another, because we are the body, right? That could be a helpful type of perspective. And then tell me again the second part of the question.
What are ways that like we can discern rhythms by the leading of the Spirit?
Yeah. So I think one of the things that has been really beneficial is like really thinking about what is discernment. And I think another piece that can be really hard, and it's something, this is not for me, I've been actually listening to a podcast that has really been helpful in thinking about what does it mean to like be with God and to listen to God and to communicate with God in prayer. And some of the caution around that people might feel is because sometimes things have been done that have been abusive or manipulative in the name of God. Like, okay, well, this one person, like, well, God told me this about you. And it's just like, well, he didn't tell me that. So either you're saying you're more spiritual than me and something's wrong with me, or I can't trust you, right? So I think like that discernment piece is being like, it's to be able to be together in community to say, like, let's enter into a time, an intentional time of like, here's what we're seeking God for. And so let's do it together. Let's pray together. When you're having your time, like have this be a part of your focus, and let's regather and just like, you know, and trying to be intentional about that. Like, you know, like the time to do that, if you're trying to think about that in an Advent rhythm, is not necessarily during right. Advent. So being, you know, kind of being a bit planful about it and anticipating that time, but really seeing what it is that what God is saying, because God is not going to say one thing to me and then say something completely contradictory to you. And so I think this really being able to, one, like we were talking about before, like get our own individual rhythms into a place where God is speaking to us and we're hearing from him. And then also being able to bring that together in community and to you know, to seek God together. Right.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's a really important point that you make, that say in the worship calendar, where we're doing planning and discerning what that looks like as a church community to celebrate Advent.
Yeah.
When we're following those rhythms, we know what to expect when Advent's coming up. So it gives us the opportunity to discern collectively or on our team what that's going to look like, what that can look like, and so we can corporately be discerning,
right?
Versus if we don't follow a rhythm, then we don't necessarily have the heads up to discern together, right? And then we default to that, oh, I woke up this morning and I decided this is what the whatever's gonna look like today,
right?
And so I think that's a great opportunity to come back to that point of, we're doing this together in community, discerning together in community. And at the end of the day, it is God that we're following. It's not the rhythms themselves, but You mentioned, you know, the start of our conversation, God's got rhythms everywhere. So that's another aspect of, you know, rhythms aren't antithetical to how God works.
Right.
And so, I think that that's a beautiful thing, that it gives us the opportunity to allow us as the church to participate more corporately.
Yes.
In that discernment about what this will look like to live out these rhythms.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, it definitely helps too, because one of the other things I've been thinking about a lot lately is I can't even say how many different like spiritual gifts inventories I've taken. Like they usually tell me the same thing. I'm just like, okay, yes, Africa, you have an administration gift and you have a mercy gift and you have, you know, like you have the gift of discernment. And so I'm usually like, great, that's good to know. Not really sure what that looks like, right? And so I think that that piece of it too is really being able to, like, when we incorporate those types of rhythms with one another, it gives us the opportunity to develop the gifts that God has given us in the body. Not in just a way of like identifying gifts, but actually like flowing in the gifts that God has given us, because that's the, you know, like that's the benefit of being a body, right? And so I'm like, so like if we're getting together corporately and you share something with me that God said to you, like, I'm like, oh, I never really saw it like that. And that's really very helpful to me to consider like how God is revealing it to you and how it could even enrich me, and it could be a mutual experience. And so I think that piece of the mutuality of a communal space is so important, and also very challenging because we're in a context in a society that is very focused on individualism when it comes to our relationship with God. And it's, that wasn't, right? That's not the intention.
That's good. What are some more benefits of a rhythmic lifestyle of the church over maybe spontaneous or unplanned activity?
I would say like the benefit of having it be more planned is that people can intentionally participate, right? So if I'm just like, not to say there's not a space for spontaneity, because I think that there should be, right?
Yeah, maybe spontaneity wasn't that right.
Yeah. So I'm like, I think that it can be good. Yeah. And also that when we think about if we want to be able to invite people to participate, people need the opportunity to know that it's going to happen and to plan for it. And so I think that's the piece too. Like, it's not meant to be something that's limiting. It's actually meant to be something that frees as many people up as possible to participate, right? So if someone, this has happened to me quite a bit where I'm like, I get an email just like, tomorrow, this thing is going to happen. I'm just like, actually, I can't do it. Not because I'm not interested, but because I already have something planned for that day. And so I think that really being able to create space for people to find out about an opportunity and to participate and to planfully participate in it, like, because I'm not at this stage of life anymore, but there was a stage where, you know, our children were younger. And if it's, maybe it's an event that's not necessarily for, like, everybody says for maybe adults or whatever, I need to make sure I have childcare, right? Or I need to make sure that if it is a family event that, you know, whatever's being offered is going to be something that my child is going to enjoy so I can get them ready, right? So I think it gives us an opportunity to be planful. And then also, like, but then also folks who really enjoy a bit more spontaneity, like, you connect with one another and then y'all can, like, you know, like, really be able to enjoy that too. But I think if we're operating more like that than actually giving people the opportunity to join in, then it makes it hard for people to participate. And so we're putting up unnecessary barriers.
And you know, if we go back to even that idea of container, maybe the better comparison is rhythmic versus arrhythmic. Because there is room for spontaneity in within rhythm,
right? Absolutely. So I think that it really when we have that opportunity to invite one another in, it's really important. I think especially something that I think about too is in our different personalities, like, I'm someone who, like, I need a moment to process. And so when I see an opportunity, I'm not typically going to be like, yes, immediately. I'm like, I got to think about that. Let me take a look, right? And so giving people who need an opportunity to prepare, and then also folks who may not need that as much to understand, folks who may need that space a bit more.
And I think along those lines of creating more space for participation and almost in a way kind of, you know, orienting ourselves towards others and the corporate, having a rhythm, I think, helps us to create that space. Because for an example, as a leader, right? If I were to This is an example. Do all of my sermons mm-hmm. for a year mm-hmm. without following a rhythm of the worship calendar.
Right.
Me, who I am, mm-hmm. and the life experiences that I've had mm-hmm. and the passions that God's given me, mm-hmm. I am going to focus on majority on particular aspects of who Jesus is
yes.
and his kingdom.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Because I'm one piece of the body.
Right.
But when we have rhythms that cover the whole story,
yes.
that gives opportunities, one, for me to step out of me.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Outside right. of myself and tell the whole story, not my story
right.
of who I've experienced God to be.
Right.
But then also to invite others in to that experience
yes.
of, you know, let's tell his story together.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, because for if it was me, I'd be preaching Advent and Easter Lent or Easter preparation the whole year.
Right.
But that's only part of the story
right.
of God and his people.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's part of those rhythms too, is we get to focus on the bigger story. And as leaders, it brings that challenge of,
yes.
you know, we got to step out of that, step out of ourselves a little bit and
yes.
more into what is God doing and how is he doing that in the mm-hmm. midst of all of us as his body.
Yeah. And I totally agree and think about like, because I'm the same way. And I think like whenever before starting to learn how to practice say like Lent differently, I used to be like, oh no, right? Because just like my former impression of Sabbath, my impression of like fasting or thinking about that time, or you know, like, oh, it's such a melancholy time, I'm really trying to have fun, I don't really want to be thinking about this or giving something up or whatever. It was a very limited way and an inaccurate way of thinking about that time. But then as I'm seeing people in the rhythm of our worship together, sharing their perspective and their experience with it, I'm like, oh, well, I don't have to see it that way
yeah.
because I'm actually having a more expansive understanding of what it is, right? And it actually, mm-hmm. it's different. It's different than what happens during Advent or Easter to a certain extent, right? Because they have mm-hmm. their different components and different purposes, but we get to see the connectivity of it and the things that we might not gravitate to immediately. Mm-hmm. We can actually like kind of unpack what are some of our misperceptions
right.
about that thing
yes.
and to really grow an appreciation for that. And it still might not be our favorite part, like favorite part of the calendar, but we can grow, like I was saying, to appreciate it because it's so valuable
yeah.
and there's beauty in all of it, right? It
yeah.
just it manifests a bit differently. So
yeah.
we get to like to really benefit from one another's experience with the different parts of the rhythms that God calls us into.
Yes. Well, we're coming up on the end of our time. So I have one more question for
okay.
you. What advice would you give to those of us who are starting to build healthy church rhythms personally and corporately?
Yeah, I think, I mean, not to just be like, I want to plug this book, but because it's been beneficial to me.
Yeah.
Really, like the Deeply Formed Life has been really helpful for me. So I don't mean to say like this book only, but as an example of a book that could, and I'm a book person, so there's
yes.
that also. So if it's not book, maybe there are podcasts too,
yes.
like other sources. But I think really being able to lean into something like that is really focusing on formation. So one of the things I enjoy about the way that book is structured is that it has like five different practices that we're thinking about. So it's like, here's the teaching about this practice. And then the next chapter is like, let's kind of unpack that, right? Unpack our experience with it, unpack why that's meaningful, unpack why how that benefits us spiritually. So that has been really, really very helpful for me because going back into like how I was formed from the beginning, from being a little kid, it matters. And not in a way of being like, oh, I want to go back and like bash my family. So not that, because everybody has a form, like, you know, the beginnings of your
right.
formation about different things. But I really appreciate the way the vulnerability that Rich Viodas uses, you know, implements as he's writing and the things that he's learned, and being able to say like, okay, so what are some of the scripts that are in your mind or some of the things and patterns that you notice generationally or in your own upbringing? What are some of your perceptions about God, and how can the Holy Spirit really help you to really heal from some of those things and to, you know, to address and let God work you through some of those things that might be a barrier to you and invite you into this wide open space. And so I don't know if how many people have watched the movie The Wiz, which is like, you know, the Diana Ross, Michael Jackson, Quincy Jones version of The Wizard of Oz. But there's like this, there's a scene, and it's a spoiler, but the movie came out in the 70s. So I don't really feel bad about it. And plus, it's kind of similar, right, to the Wizard of Oz. But there's this one scene where, like, Dorothy and the Tin Man and Scarecrow and the Lion, like, they're going to confront this, like, the evil queen. And there are all these people that she's enslaved. And they're in these, what looks like really pretty grotesque suits. And you're like, boy, they look rough, right? Like, you're looking at that. And then when they're liberated from that evil queen, they basically unzip themselves. And that grotesque suit that they have on that wasn't really them, it falls away, and they're like beautiful underneath. And then they are dancing. And the whole song there is like this brand new day song. And I feel like that, right? Like, I feel like that about being able to uncover, like, what are some of the things that hinder us? What are some of the things that have blocked our true understanding of who God is? And how do we help, like, how do we put ourselves in a space where God can unzip us and be like, here's your true self. Here's who I made you to be. And here's, you know, here's the formation that you need to get to that self, that those opportunities. And so I think, like, whether it be the deeply formed life or some other type of source, but really being able to take a deep dive into different understandings of different ways of connecting with God and doing that work, it's not easy, but it's important. And so that we have less barriers to connecting with Father, Son, and Spirit. So, so that's been an incredible help to me, and I think it could be beneficial to other people too.
Thanks for sharing that, Africa. Yeah. This has been a really wonderful and rich conversation. Yes,
absolutely.
I am so glad you've got the time to join us today. But before we close out, I've got some fun questions for us. Okay. So if you're ready, I'm ready. Okay. I'm ready.
Jump in.
What would the title of your autobiography be?
Oh, I feel like I'm kind of cheating because I just started an LLC.
Oh, and so the name... That's all right.
So I'll just use that same one because I think it's clever, but it's like it's Continental Drift because I'm named after a continent.
Yes.
And it's my drift, like my perspective. Yes. So I think it will be Continental Drift. That's what I think of now, but it'll probably have something after the colon as well. Yeah,
I like that.
A subtitle.
All right. If you could bring back any fashion trend, what would it be?
Oh, I'm so not into fashion trends. And so that's going to be really hard for me because I'm like anti. I'm like anti-fashion trends.
None of them.
None of them. I really feel like, you know, people should be able to express themselves. I mean, within reason, right? Like, express themselves in a way that really resonates with them. And so I feel like a trend is, like, no disrespect, but, like, it's so much, like, copying off of someone else. And if that's your thing, that's your thing. But if you're just doing it to fit in, then I'm like, oh, that's kind of corny. I'm like, yes, I don't think I would. No trends.
Fair enough. Yeah. That's a legit answer. What fictional world or place would you love to visit?
Oh, I feel like I really would like to be a student at Hogwarts. I am such a big Harry Potter fan, and I've thought about it too. Like, I have done the whole, like, the tests and what house would I be in? And it tested and said I would be in Gryffindor. I don't think that's true. I'm totally a Hufflepuff, and I'm proud of it. It's really fine. But yeah, it just seems like such a fun place to go to. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on there. Typically, when there's not some type of intense thing happening, it seems like a really cool place to go to school and to, you know, just like, you know, like, have shared meals and hang out with friends. And so that fun part of Hogwarts when there's not like drama going on seems like it'd be kind of fun. Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. All right. This one's fun because you're from New York.
Yeah.
What's the best phrase or piece of slang that people use in your hometown?
Oh, this is so hard because I'm like, what I'm going to say is not to say that this is New York only because I actually don't know where this slang came from, but I love saying that something is so dope. And I think sometimes people just like dope with you, depending on your understanding of the word or what you perceive, it's like, oh, that's a terrible thing to say, especially as a Christ follower. I'm just like, no, I don't mean that.
Right.
I mean, like, it's so cool, right? So I'm like, I use the word dope a lot. Yes, so I like that.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right. And last one, if you were an action figure, what two accessories would you come with?
Oh, that's really good. Okay, so I feel like, the Black Panther suit. Okay, so I love that the way that Shuri designed it is so that, you know, like, it builds, like, as you're taking hits, that it's building up kinetic energy that you can then, you can then, like, you know, I don't know, what's the word, like, blast, you know, like, blast with, right? You can fight with that. And then I also, I mean, I guess, I don't know if I would need these two. as like with the Black Panther suit, but I'm thinking, so I'm like, I really love the idea of flying. Ooh. And so I'm like, I think maybe that's in like the Falcon, like Falcons.
Oh, like little wings.
Yeah, like the wings. Like, yeah, and so yeah, you can just fly, you can fly so fast and change direction so quickly. And oh, I love that. So I'm like, I'd have like a weird, like mix of a Black yes. Panther suit and wing, Falcon like Falcon wings.
Yeah. You know, if it works, it works.
Yeah, yeah. Right? It'd be very unique.
Yes, it would. It unique. Sure would. Well, this has been fun, Africa. I really Yay. Have enjoyed having you here
Me
today.
Too. Me too. Thank yes. you.
No, thank you. Yeah. We have the practice. We end our episodes with prayer. Yes. And so I would love for you to pray for our churches, our pastors, ministry leaders, and members in GCI.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Father, Son, and Spirit, we are so delighted, Lord, so delighted to just be able to be in your presence, to know who we are in you and with one another. You are such a kind and caring and generous God. And we just really, first of all, start by giving you praise and glory and saying hallelujah to your name, because you are just, you are everything. Mm. You are everything to us. And so we really want to take the time now to hold in the light of your truth and your grace and your mercy and your care. Those who are leading congregations, Lord, that you would make sure that they really know who they are in you and know your provision, to know your peace, your comfort, your guidance, Lord. Pray for the members as well. And you know, all around the world, Lord, the world is a heavy place. It's such a heavy place, Lord. And at the same time, you have introduced us to and invited us into such a beautiful experience with you, Lord. And so we pray that leaders and members all around the world, Lord, would know the joy of your presence, that would know the relief of your peace and your shalom, Lord, that we would know rest and that we would know excitement and celebration, Lord, and that we would be with one another in difficult times, Lord, and also in joyful times, Lord, and really just being able to enjoy the communion that you have offered us. We're so grateful to you, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would continue to glorify you and proclaim your worth and your majesty in all that we do and decide and think and say, and all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you, Africa.
Yes, thank you.
And until next time, folks, keep on living and sharing the gospel.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC Podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic, or if there is someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.